Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, Blonde Cigar.
Hey, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good.
How's,
How many hours are you into the show now?
36.
Wow, you think you're gonna do it?
Oh, of course we're gonna do it. There's no other option. We're gonna have to do it. I mean, it's only another 14 hours. It's the equivalent to a road trip that we have to go down to get this thing knocked out.
Or a horrible game you're stuck in, right?
or a horrible game you're stuck. Exactly. That's an even better reference. It's the equivalent to getting stuck on the first hand for maximum amount and having to grind all night. So. We'll be able to get it.
Have you talked about the Venetian remodel?
No, I haven't.
No, what's going on with the Venetian?
Well, they remodeled the room, and supposedly it's supposed to open Tuesday. They closed the room for, I think, like a month and a half, and they moved it over to the Palazzo. But I think the problem is that a lot of the players didn't want to go play over there for just a couple of reasons, and now they're going to have to try and win them all back. So I don't know. The room is going to have, I think, 52 or 60 tables, which is pretty huge. So I don't know how they're going to, you know, fill that room. They're going to have to offer something to players, free roll, something. Because I went over there and played the Saturday tournament, and they only had 36 entrants, which is, that's really bad.
36 entrants for what was the tournament?
Just their 7 o'clock, like deep stack, 10,000 starting chips, 20-30 minute levels. You know, but on a Labor Day weekend, you would think that a strip property, and I know a lot of the other, you know, properties are not getting a big turnout for their tournaments, but 36 for 120 buy-in tournaments, it's pretty soft. So I don't know. I was just curious if Brandon was going to go check out the room when it opens.
Yeah, I will at some point. Definitely going to be taking probably 2 days to rest when I'm done with this. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I also meant to ask you, have you been noticing at Red Rock a lot of the same guys playing the bot?
Yeah, I mean, there's... I guess you'd call it maybe a community of people that are playing it.
I saw Reggie Man playing the bot 2 days ago.
Yeah, he told me that you introduced yourself to him.
Yeah, I saw him. I don't know how he fared. He seemed to be playing it for quite a lengthy period. But
he was staying there, I think, for about 3 days. So that's why more or less came to Vegas just to actually play the bot. That was the sole reason for coming here.
Wow. And he already had the chairman card in the machine, I noticed.
Oh, yeah. He earned chairman back with me back in January for February. Yeah. Wait, long time ago. Are you at chairman yet?
Yeah, I know. I think I should hit it by the end of this month. With college football coming up and NFL, I think I'm going to be pretty good. I'm in a pretty... like big fantasy league, I'm kind of nervous about. I mean, I have some decent players, but I'm just kind of nervous about, you know, what's going to happen, because it's probably like the biggest, probably like one of the biggest fantasy ones I've been in a while. So if I don't cash, it could be probably be like a year before I play another fantasy football.
Yeah. Hold on one second. I need to text Steve the Bodyguard my sandwich order. It's going to be actually from Jersey Mike's. Kevin, are you there with me?
I'm here, sir.
Okay. Kevin, Lawn Cigar Kevin. Lawn Cigar lives in Las Vegas, and he has been a part of the forums and is part of our kickball league and good guy in general. Just give me 1 second. You guys chat for a minute.
So Kevin, do you bet a lot of sports or no?
Not as much as I used to, no, but sometimes, I mean, if I can find the right edge in it, yes, I will, but try to stick my gambling to playing poker. How about yourself? You bet a lot of sports?
Yeah, I mean, Brandon, I think, and now it doesn't matter if I air it out, but I actually used to work for two sports books here. I used to work at the Venetian, then I worked for Tanner. That's why having Alan Boston on will probably be a interesting thing, because I'm sure you can ask him how he feels about, you know, Tanner basically buying all the sports books in Vegas, which is, you know, you're basically going to have your lines completely eliminated if you have one, you know, company buying every book.
Right.
And even though they have the in running, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of, I guess, the version of online poker for sports bettors. But it should be fun. I haven't done it that much.
Do you consider yourself a sharp? I mean, I usually...
Well, I kind of have I guess I kind of have an edge because of the people that I've developed relationships from taking bets over the years. Mm-hmm. They kind of, you know, give me a little info or tell me stay away from that game or so-and-so is, you know, got the other side of that game. And it's, I'm sure, you know, you've heard, like, you know, people just throw money on the other way and then just middle it, but that's getting harder and harder to do.
Oh, I mean, definitely if they're going to do that, I mean, there's not going to be different lines all over the city to do that anymore, you know?
Yeah, and they, you know, most of the bets they take, like stations and max bet they take is 4K, and if you're real sharp, what they're doing is they're allowing you to bet whatever you want in a day, but you can't bet the rest of the day. So say you wanted to lay 8,000 on a game, they yep. probably let you do it, but you couldn't bet any other event that day. So if you lose that game, you're pretty much toast. So what a lot of guys have been doing is going to all the different station properties and betting it that way. You got to drive around town, but, you know, you're able to do it.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's a...
Is it pretty regular that there's caps like that on the betting?
Yeah. I mean, especially the same guys come in. I remember probably about a year, I think it was like a year and a half ago, when Boston was just, you know, totally running it up. And I think they lost, I can't remember what game it was, but they were favorites to win, and they blew it. And there was a guy that came up like 2 minutes before and wanted to delay, I think he wanted to lay like 6,000 on every quarter, and they denied him, and they would have won every single quarter. The reason they denied him, though, is the guy obviously had someone else's money, because he had cash and no player's card, no ID. Now, why would you go and put $6,000 on every quarter of a game with nothing, you know, to back it up? Nobody's going to take sure. that bet from that guy. And I'd never seen the guy before either. So, yeah, there's, you know, it all depends who you are. You know, I think that some people are, you know, prone to get a little favoritism. So, but it's, you know, there was some great, hilarious stories. If I could, probably when I have my, when I do my show, there's a guy he's a big, like, stock guy, and he's won a couple poker things. I'm not going to say his name right now because I don't want to just
sure, kind of
ruin
sure.
it for the show. But he was betting the in-wagering, which is in real time. And
right, yep.
what happened was when Cantor originally started out, they have a guy or guys actually at the M Casino, which is off the strip here, setting the lines in real time. Well, obviously, they're just like you and me, and they can make mistakes. So, you know, and this is in the infancy of when they first started doing the in-game wagering. Well, a couple times, they threw the lineup the wrong way, and the guys would just hammer it, you know, hammer the bet. I think you could
sure.
bet, say it was right on the missed free throws. They had it at, you know, plus 400, when it should have been minus. Are you doing that, you know, 500 bets, you're making 2K every free throw. Right?
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a simple mistake. You know, they're just people like you and me, and for a whole game, they're just keep setting lines, you know, instantly, you know, you're going to make a mistake. But when you have a sharp in there totally waiting for you to do that. And I remember this this guy, he just hammered it. When he went to cash out, they declined. They approved every other bet, paid him for all his other bets. But the bets that they messed up on, they said, oh, you know, that was an error. And they weren't willing to pay him his actual bet. And he went absolutely apeshit. And this is at Legacy Stadium where it's completely packed. It's a playoff game. And it was just amazing. There was a woman that was head of my department, and he just cursed at her to her face, unrelenting, you know, I don't give a fuck about what you say, you know, bitch, I spend more, he was insane. So if I can get him on my show, I'm going to have him recount that story, but I was physically in front of the guy, and I thought he was just going to punch this woman in the face, because she didn't want to give him, like, $2,000. And he did end up getting it, but he had to, you know, threaten to go to the gaming commission and everything else, but the problem at that point was that the Venetian was a middleman between Cantor Gaming and the bettor. Because Cantor had not owned the book at that time. They were just kind of set up in the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand completely.
Yeah, but it was, now, you know, it's a little different. They own the book, so.
Hey guys, I'm back. Sorry, I just called my father to bring me some lunch.
Yeah, I gotta call Steve and make my lunch order. I will be right back, guys.
Okay. In an ironic
roast beef. Think roast beef, Johnny?
Yeah. Well, in an ironic twist of events, my dad's bringing me Subway.
Oh my god! That is the most ironic twist of events.
He asked me what I wanted. He asked me what I wanted, and I told him what I wanted, and he's like, well, I'm going to be closer to Subway. What do you want from Subway?
So. Right back. I'm actually getting Jersey Mike's now. All right, be right back, boys.
All righty. Lawn Cigar, how you been, man? How's Vegas life treating you?
I've been good, man. I actually moved to a different casino to work at. You know, just been busy doing that.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying to, you know, I have a son. I just did a complete remodel on a home I bought. You know.
Now, I know that you are somewhat of a, someone who follows the markets, correct?
Yes, all the time.
Do you have any stock tips that you can give our listeners, kind of as a preview of what to expect on your Shocks and Jocks, your Stocks and Jocks show? When it comes
what I'm probably going to originally start out doing is, you know, basically someone that's a noob, I guess you could say, to the market, just explaining how I kind of got into it, which I kind of learned from a cousin of mine who kind of trades on the floor of the Chicago Exchange. And, you know, originally when he was doing it, he was just a runner. That's all he did. And I mean, he's got just some crazy stories. Now he's pretty much got like every Series 7, every you know, license that he can have. And basically what he originally told me to do was, you know, if you're going to buy stocks, buy the stocks of what you use on a daily basis, i.e. if you drink a lot of Pepsi, like Brandon, if you drink a lot of Coke, those companies, it's like long-term, they're more than likely going to be around. Most of them are not the cheapest stocks, but nonetheless, you know, they're found companies with some stability.
Is that like a general rule of thumb? Because there's lots of things that I've loved that have just gone away over the years.
You know, be Subway. I mean, I can't remember who owns Subway, but nonetheless, you know, that's a general rule of thumb. The problem with those companies that have been established a long time is they're not the cheapest stock to have for someone that's got like $500.
And do they not? They don't have a lot of movement either, right? It's more like a steady, slow.
Well, they don't have a lot of movement, but nonetheless, you know, they're going to move to where you're not going to get a lot of negativity in the stock.
Now, does this rule apply to things like Facebook and stuff?
Well, Facebook, I mean, that was overvaluated to begin with. That was basically a pump and dump by every big firm to just drum it up, you know, because all those guys had a lot of, I mean, if you saw the social network, all the guys that had huge capital money invested into that firm, they were just looking for the public to buy so they could dump right away. And there's tons of stocks that do that. There's pharmaceutical stocks that do that. There's, you know, every kind of stock you can think of does it, the pump and dump of, you know, hype it up, and then when it hits, just dump it right away. I mean, ideally, what would be a great thing to have on the show, I don't know, I had his number a long time ago, but I think I lost it, is, you know, that guy David Cho that you heard about that painted the murals in the Facebook offices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did it in exchange for a small piece of the company,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, he actually, a friend of mine in L.A. owns a gallery, and, you know, he's pretty big in there, so I got his number from the guy, but I must have, like, an outdated number, but I would be curious to see what he actually did when the stock came out. I'm sure whoever was advising him told him, look.
I mean, do you think that, do you really think that he still had that stock? You don't think he tried?
Absolutely not. No way. No way.
Yeah.
I mean, it opened at, what, 44? I can't remember what it opened at.
No, I mean, do you think he privately sold his piece of the company years ago?
Seeing how that guy is, I highly doubt it, because he had money before that, and if you ever see interviews with the guy, I mean, he's been in a prison, he's been, you know, pretty much everywhere and done everything, and if you really want to kind of, I mean, the guy's a really interesting guy. If you ever go to the Vice, have you ever looked at the Vice website for the magazine?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a, I don't think he does it anymore, but he had a weekly segment on there where he did road trips. And he was a total degen. He's a total degenerative gambler, which would also be a positive thing to have him on the show. But, you know, he's lost, you know, 50K, 80K, 100K in blackjack. You know, there's actual footage of him, like, being at the Venetian, and losing all his money and still not getting a comp the room. And this is when he had money anyway. I think it, you know, when he was on Stern, he wouldn't say how much he had. I'm sure whoever his advisors were had him hold on to some of the stock, because when it opened at 44, he probably made a killing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, I think, sold their interest a long time ago. I don't think that stock will be like a MySpace. You know what I mean? There's so many different social media platforms, the Twitter, the Instagram, the, what is it, Pinster. I mean, Tumblr is more kind of like a blog type thing. But, you know, there's so many social things, you're never going to, there's always going to be something new.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm with you. I've never been a fan of Facebook.
So you're thinking like a something that you use that's more of a long-term product is worth an investment, but something that you use that doesn't cost you anything, like a social media or a website, is probably something to stay away from.
No, any like technology that isn't really has hard products,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like an Apple or like a Microsoft or like, you know, anything that can be, you know, basically upgraded that you need in your daily thing. I mean, the social media thing, you're always going to have something new. Someone's going to make a new program. You're going to be on that. It doesn't really cost you anything.
So would Google be the absolute exception to this rule? Like, is that the anomaly?
It's more like a software package because it's built in your computer. Like, every computer basically either has Google built in, Google's built into the browser, I don't know what their like click-through rate is. I'm sure a more computer programmer Todd type guy could tell you, you know, that their click-through rate is probably just through the roof. You're never going to get the type of, you know, click-through like Google has, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, anyway, I originally started out buying just really small stocks. I mean, when I was going to school, I bought Adobe. I bought Avid. A friend of mine had a post-production company. You know, just stuff that I used on a daily basis that I thought, hey, this company's been around this long. You know, if you're going to use this product, a lot of people only use this product to do this. The short term of that is if the company goes bankrupt, which you know, you have to look at kind of the P&L of the company, the return, like how long, what's the return been on 10 years? I mean, it doesn't, it's basically legalized gambling as well. That's why another thing that is bizarre is, you know, Cantor Fitzgerald being a huge investment company running sportsbooks is just insane.
How so?
If you think about it.
Well, I haven't thought about it, so explain.
Well, for instance, okay, they you know, they've been, you know, the Floyd Mayweather notorious tweets, right, about how much money he bets on every game, right?
Sure, yeah.
He will never bust them because they have that back capital from all their investing. Dude, that's a book you're never going to break. That's why they'll take any bet, any size from anyone. Because when they have that kind of money on the back end, right,
mm-hmm.
How are you ever going to break them? You know, the I guess you could say, like, the Las Vegas Hilton. It's just the Las Vegas Hilton. They don't have, you know, a stock company behind them, commodities, you know, futures, all that behind them, but Cantor does. Sure, it's Cantor Gaming, but it's a division of Cantor Fitzgerald, and you can't tell me that money doesn't flow through the entire corporation, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never ever put any thought into it. It's not something that stocks and things like that aren't really on my radar, Lonsigar. I do very minimal investing, things like that. But I do appreciate you educating me and our listeners a little bit on it, and hopefully everybody learned something. We're going to fly because I got to go ahead and archive the show out. But thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no sweat, buddy. And you also want to look at dividend-paying stocks. That way, even if you get, you know, a couple bucks a month, you're still getting a return on your money.
Okay, that's great advice. That's something that most young investors should probably take a look at, right?
Yeah, but call Alan Boston. I'm curious to see what he has to say.
All right, we'll try our hardest to get to it, I promise.
Gotcha.
Take care.